This is Gloria Navarez, Commissioner of the Mountain West, episode 82 of the Talking Grammar Podcast.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Jeff Grammer with the Albuquerque Journal. And as you just heard there, this is episode 82 now of the Talking Grammar Podcast. Glad you're listening. Glad you're watching. However you are enjoying this podcast, glad you're here. Happy you're here. And as you just heard from Gloria Navarez, the Mountain West Commissioner, this episode is going to focus on some Mountain West hoops. As I record this podcast on Monday, March the 4th, we are now 10 games away. This is the final 5 or 6 days of the Mountain West regular season. We start the Mountain West men's tournament next Wednesday. That would be March 13th in Las Vegas is when the men's tournament starts. Still a lot up for grabs. In fact, there's only 2 seeds so far with only 10 games left, final week of the season. There are only 2 out of 11 seeds that are already set in place, and that would be the number 8 seed, Wyoming, is locked in. The number 9 seed, Fresno State, already locked in. And with the Mountain West men's basketball 11-team format, the tournament format, seeds 6 through 12 play each other in the first day of the tournament, and seeds 1 through 5 get a bye into the quarterfinals. Well, the way the matchups work, the only 2 seeds decided so far, the 8 and the 9, they actually play each other. So Wyoming, Fresno State, they play each other this week in the final week of the regular season. They found out Saturday they'll be playing each other next week in the tournament. So those 2 teams know what they're doing. Everybody else still has no idea what's going to happen in the Mountain West tournament. Still a lot to play for. I know Colorado State is a team that is locked into either the 6 or 7 seed. They'll be playing on the first day. But the UNM Lobos, most of you listening follow my coverage, obviously, in the Albuquerque Journal of Lobo Basketball. And they're a team that can be as low as the 7 seed and play on that first day. Probably most likely, if you're putting odds on it, most likely based on probabilities, going to be that 6 seed, but they can get as high as, I believe, the 4 seed. So still a lot to play for the Lobos this week. Wednesday night, their senior night, is going to be again at home in the Pit. Final home game of the year of the regular season for the Lobos in the Pit will be against Fresno State. And then Saturday night, they finish the regular season at a Utah State team who is right now co-leaders of the Mountain West Conference, along with Boise State. So Boise State, Utah State, both tied right now for first place, still hoping to get a league championship. Both can still slip as far down as, I believe, 4th. Both of them know they're playing at least on the quarterfinal round. They will be at least a top 5 seed. But yeah, they can still slip quite a bit. San Diego State, Nevada, UNLV, all 3 of those teams still have conference championship, at least a share of a conference championship, still in play this final week. So a lot still to go, a lot still to be determined in the Mountain West Conference. And the league is still pushing for a 6-bid Mountain West or an NCAA tournament, a 6 Mountain West teams getting in to the NCAA tournament, which is still realistic. New Mexico is the bottom team on that list, but lots of opportunities, as I just said, ahead. Obviously, the regular season includes that Utah State game on the road, which would be a huge win, which would get them in if they won. And then the Mountain West Tournament, because there's so many teams with really good metrics, net rankings, KenPom rankings, those kind of things. Plus, you throw in a 7th team in UC or UNLV, which will be playing in its home arena, not technically on its home court because they do bring in a new court for the Mountain West Tournament. But because it is considered a road game, every time the UNLV plays in the Mountain West Tournament, it is considered a road game. So those help the metrics as well. So there are 7 teams in the Mountain West Tournament that actually have really good metrics, could really help an NCAA resume. So a lot to still play for. Seeding for a lot of those top teams. I know San Diego State thinks they can get as high as a 3 seed and maybe drop as low as a 5 seed, but they don't think they can drop much further than that. As crazy as it sounds, San Diego State, I believe, can still drop as low as the 6 seed if they lose both of their games this week. So a lot still to play for. I wanted to talk to Gloria, though, who is in her second year now. She started in January of 2023. So she's been in the job as commissioner of the Mountain West for a little over a year now. And I want to talk to her about the 6-bid Mountain West. I wanted to talk to her about capitalizing on the attention this league has gotten this year because of all that's gone on and everything that continues to go on with all the attention that national writers and national television is giving this league because there's so many good teams. So we talk a little bit about that. We talk a little bit about the future of the conference, some conference realignment issues and some Pac-2 questions that I have with Washington State and Oregon State and maybe even Gonzaga and St. Mary's and teams like that, is adding some teams, some basketball teams to the conference. Something that the league is still looking at. We talk about that. We also talk about the location of the tournament. Probably won't ever leave Vegas again. It'll probably stick in Vegas forever. But should it still be played in the Thomas and Mack Center, which is owned by and operated by UNLV, should it be on a school's campus? Probably not if you want to be considered an upper echelon conference. I think the price is right. They get a great deal. It is a great tournament. It is a good, the venue is just fine. The experience is just fine. Everything kind of works except for the image of playing it at a school's arena. You don't see that in the Big 12. You don't see that in the ACC. You don't see that in the Big East. You don't see that in the power conferences. Power conferences is a term I use and everyone else uses. To be very clear, the Mountain West doesn't use that term. Gloria would never use that term. So that is my term. But they need to explore that. Is it worth the, is the price right enough to stay long-term at UNLV and in the Thomas and Mack Center? Or should the Mountain West, who's trying to capitalize as the only major conference left out west when the Pac-12 disbands this offseason, is the Mountain West wanting to kind of take that next step and look like one of the power conferences and basically not hold their conference tournament in somebody's, in one of their team's gyms? So again, UNLV does not have the success rate in the Mountain West tournament being played at the Thomas and Mack Center to warrant that. I know people talk about that. It's an unfair advantage all the time. That's not what this is about. The numbers don't bear out that UNLV has an unfair advantage in that arena for the conference tournament. It just doesn't. But the appearance of playing in one of your school's arenas is sort of maybe what the question is. So I do want to thank, before we get to this conversation with Gloria, I want to thank her again for joining me on this podcast. Obviously, a lot of stuff going on with Lobo basketball. Decided on this episode not to get into too much of that because it's going to change so much over the next few days and next week. So we'll get into a lot more of that after senior night, after the season ends, after the conference awards come out next week. So we'll get into all that over the next week. This one was sort of a bigger picture about the whole league. And before I forget, I do want to make sure to thank, as always, TLC Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical for sponsoring this episode of the Talking Grammar Podcast, for helping bring stuff, content like this, to you, to the readers, to the listeners, to the viewers. And everything we do at abqjournal.com is sort of predicated on getting sponsorships like that, but also readers, viewers, listeners like you subscribing. You know, if you're listening right now to this podcast, please subscribe, however, to whatever app you're listening to it on, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever. If you're watching on YouTube, subscribe. These will jump right into your feed every time a new episode comes up. Stuff like that's important. And you can also subscribe to our coverage every day in a print edition of the Albuquerque Journal or digitally at abqjournal.com/subscribe. That's how you could help local journalism, and that's how you can ensure that we continue to bring you the coverage of not only sports, but politics, news, crime, entertainment industry, all the stuff we're bringing you to abqjournal.com. It's important. Subscribe if you can. Local journalism matters, and we need you to continue to do this. So, without further ado, hope you enjoy this edition of the Talking Grammar Podcast, my conversation with Mountain West Commissioner Gloria Navarez. Gloria, I do appreciate you for coming on this podcast. It's kind of crunch time in the basketball season, right? And it's an exciting time. There's 1 week left as we record this. There is 1 week left of the regular season for the Mountain West and for college, most of college basketball, not all. And conference tournament time. So the next 2 weeks of Mountain West action is exciting because it's sort of building towards what happens in 3 weeks, which I want to talk to you about. We are wrapping up a season that might be the best college basketball season for the Mountain West Conference in 25 years, and this is the 25th year. And I want to start with the excitement level for you. Has it been exciting, or does a season like this just create more drama, more work?
No, actually, this is super exciting, largely because, you know, of all the things that we can control, this is not one of them. You know, we don't coach athletes, we don't hire coaches. And so to have all credit to our coaches and student athletes that are getting it done on the court, it really just makes our job easier. Our job is to amplify, to tell the stories nationally. And having a season like this makes it so much easier because you can just feel The fan base, national media, they are watching.
It is. I know you've been at some games. I was at one game where you were sitting courtside there too. It's been not just the several teams, six. Really, if you want to go seven, you could say seven are playing right now as good as NCAA tournament level teams. Not only has the ratings been high, have the ratings been high, and there have been bubble talk, but the games themselves. On the one hand, there's been a whole lot of blowouts in the Mountain West this year. I think I saw Teresa's stat today, 54 or something like that. There's been a lot of blowouts, but there's also been such a high number of games that go down to, player of the week named earlier today was Jared Cash. He hits a or Lucas Cash, sorry. Let me back up. Jared Lucas, see if I can get three names thrown out there. Jared Lucas banks in a three-pointer last Tuesday. He gets player of the week this week. Darius Brown for Utah State banks in a three-pointer at the end of regulation. I mean, these games are going down to the wire with important teams with title implications in place and NCAA tournament. So it's been exciting basketball too, not just good teams, but like they're doing it against each other.
And SportsCenter top 10 type plays and shot. Like, it's just incredible the quality of basketball on the court. And from a conference perspective, sometimes you worry about, oh, okay, we're coming down the stretch and are we beating up on each other? But the great thing about what the coaches did this year and the players getting it done is our non-conference win percentage was somewhere around 73%. So even when you might stub your toe somewhere late in conference play, it doesn't drop you out of the net ranking or out of the conversation because collectively we are so strong as a league and we got it done when we could get it done. Because when you think about league play, at the end, the league, you're 50-50. Someone's got to win, someone's got to lose, all the games. So that non-conference work really set us up to have very, very strong league play. And boy, the quality, like you said, is just exciting. I mean, my husband and I were watching and yelled so much, the dog fell off the couch. Like, sorry, Gomez.
There was some conversation this week. I asked Richard Pitino about it. Some ACC coaches seem to have their talking points going forward, and while they've been spearheading it towards the Big 12 in general, they've sort of had a talking point of gaming the net, of teams maybe playing lower level strength of schedules, blowing them out to get really high net rankings. Two parts of that I kind of want to ask you about. One is what the league's role is in helping teams with their scheduling and MTEs and stuff like that. But also, what do you think about, I think the subtext with when an ACC comes out and says, look, we're only getting two or three teams in and the Big 12, look what they did. What I think they're really trying to say is, how can the Mountain West be getting more teams than us when we're the ACC? And there's some other conferences like that too. Do you take it as a shot in any way at the league when there are some bigger power conference kind of programs and coaches starting to speak out about how can the Mountain West be getting this many teams when we're only getting, two or three?
Now, I think it's a compliment. And, whatever your system is, it used to be RPI, it's now net. You're always, as a coach, as a league, going to look for ways to maximize your performance under that metric. But the great thing about having a metric is that everyone's subject to the metric. So we are performing by scheduling tough competition in the non-conference, and it's not a one-size-fits-all. Each of our coaches went out, thought about the team that they were going to have, thought about their goals for that season. Is it high seeding? Is it getting in? Is it rebuilding? And built a schedule accordingly that has a high strength of schedule, but also a solid win percentage. And that's the art behind the science. And each of our coaches has to do that individually. And so that happened under the RPI, that's happening under the net. And I don't think there's a solution that sounds like playing a soft schedule is going to elevate your positioning. Unless, of course, your league play is so strong that you're going to pick up those Q1 high quality net wins in the conference season. But when you're as strong as some of these leagues with multiple bids like us, you can't always guarantee you're going to run the table. That's tough. And in conference, you know each other so well. You know what kind of offenses you're going to encounter, the personnel, you've played them before, and it just gets tougher.
And there's certainly no apologies necessary for having a good season, right? I mean, however it happens, and when everybody knows the criteria going in to wait till late in the season to say, wait a minute, these people did something with the criteria for the net and all that that we didn't do, but we shouldn't be punished for it. It screams sour grapes. I do think in the off season it'll probably be a discussion point in some of the meetings that the commissioners and NADs get to go sit in on. But at this point, yeah, there's no apology needed from the Mountain West. You guys are enjoying one heck of a season. As we record this on Monday, what's today? The 4th. I'm looking at the net rankings right now. I'm just going to read the top six. Since the league now has six in the top 40, and that's 19 San Diego State, 24 Boise State, 28 New Mexico, 34 Colorado State, 36 Utah State, and 40 Nevada. I don't know that the league has ever had anything quite like that. But also you can't entirely just game the system to get six of your teams to somehow get into the top 40. If you could do that, a whole lot of other leagues would be doing it. So I guess game on, right? Just keep gaming it if that's what you're doing.
Gaming the system versus understanding the metric, creating the schedule that's going to maximize your results under the metric. So, you know, the quad one conversation, quad one wins, quad one, how many times did you give yourself a chance, is a huge factor in how the committee thinks about it. And our league is adjusted to that. If you look at the quality games in the non-conference, and then of course, we're getting quite a few of them in conference play, and our teams have understood that argument and scheduled toward it.
I think too, if for years the knock on a league like just anybody outside of what the traditional power, my term, I know you guys don't use this term, but the power conference, the idea of what the power conferences are, the knock has always been, well, they don't play anybody. They don't play anybody. Well, then when a league goes out and figures out a way to maximize, as you're saying, a schedule to get all these numbers lined up just right. So you're like the Big 12, you're like what those power conferences are doing, where they just beat up on each other, but it doesn't really hurt the metrics that much. You guys finally do that and people start taking shots at it. So it's it is a power structure that I think people don't like when there's newcomers. And certainly in basketball right now, we're just keeping it at the basketball level right now, this conversation, but certainly at the basketball level, the Mountain West has introduced itself to a whole lot of people this year as, you know, we want to be a part of this, whatever the power structure is, we want to be a part of it. And that brings me sort of to my next kind of topic, the future of the West and Mountain West basketball in the West. There are several teams sort of, I think people may wonder about. Obviously, the Pac-2, what's going to happen basketball-wise with Washington State and Oregon State. I know there's already some agreements with some football scheduling. I know they already have a plan in place where they're going to do all their other sports for a couple years, I believe it is, in the, was it the West Coast call? Are they with the, yeah. Long-term, though, is there still a chance that the Mountain West maybe has those two Pac-2 teams in? Maybe a school you're very familiar with Gonzaga, maybe even a St. Mary's or something. Is there still some possible merger, I guess, scenarios that could happen where the Mountain West adds from a basketball standpoint? I know football's king, but would any of that be possible from a basketball standpoint?
Well, again, in this environment, anything's possible. We remain open. We're constantly exploring what's going on. I will say that after we got that football scheduling agreement, I think we all took a deep breath and just said,
yeah,
focus on
absolutely
what's happening at the time and getting our schedule out, because that's no small lift, especially the way the calendar falls. This is one of those years that makes it really hard. So just getting that football schedule out was a lot. But we certainly continue to look at the environment. And you mentioned basketball ads. You know, when I first took over at the WCC, like 6, 7 years ago, the Mountain West was courting Gonzaga back then. So certainly we've been known to look at basketball onlys. We have affiliates. Hawaii is a football only member. So we're pretty flexible and pretty open to anything that makes us stronger.
I think too, and I won't ask you to speak for the league presidents. That's would never put you in that position. But in general, what fans need to know about adding teams is the real basic answer is, do the other members want to share the money, basically, to share the revenue? Just adding schools and adding programs for the sake of adding them isn't, it seems like that sometimes, like that's what's going on everywhere. Oh, this league added, you know, three other schools, or this conference did that. But adding just for the sake of adding doesn't get you guys anywhere. So you guys are looking for what if you were to ever add? What would it have to take to add?
And this conversation we have regularly. We have a small group of presidents and three presidents, three ADs, membership subcommittee that is meets regularly and advises. But the central question, certainly dollars has a prominent piece of the discussion, but it's fit. And what is fit? Does an additional school make us stronger? And that could change by what schools you're talking about, where you are in the environment. If you drop below a certain number, adding to add could make sense, could make you stronger. If you're already, you know, kind of at it, what does that school bring? Market value, media value, competitive value, you know, showing up and winning in a lot of sports. But most importantly, I think what has driven our league is culture and fit. Do you look like us? Do you feel like, you might not be identical? No one, no two schools are, but do you fit with the mission and values of what we're trying to achieve in the league? And so those are all the levers we look at, and it changes from school to school to, you know, month to month when we're looking at this, the opportunity. But I will say it's not something we take lightly. It would really need to be the right time and the right fit in order for us to extend an invite.
Do you have regular conversations with the Pac-2, either as a commissioner or interim commissioner over there, I suppose? Is it an interim title? Is that what they...
No,
what
she's, Teresa
she's
Gould
the
has
commissioner.
Been named commissioner, yes.
Do you have regular conversations with them as a conference, or the two, since it's only two at this point, the two individual school presidents or ADs, are there regular conversations that are still taking place with them?
You
I don't
know,
know what regular means. I guess, I mean, monthly, every, you know,
no,
certain...
no, we don't have anything calendared, but
Okay.
certainly we're all in the same meetings. We see each other quite often,
Okay.
as much as we see all the other commissioners. Plus, you know, I've a lot of close ties and friendships with the Pac-2 and the conference staff. So there is communication. But again, I think right now we're just all taking a deep breath, focusing on hoops, our tournament, our football schedule, spring champs, and all the things.
Last thing I'll ask then about the future and any kind of conference stuff is, does the fact that the I guess maybe what most people would consider the big conference out west is now gone, is now going away, does that help with TV? Does that come up? Does TV want a brand that is just out west as opposed to scattered throughout the country? I know markets, I get that. People want the LA market, or they want this market or that market. But the fact that you guys are now really in it's hard not to say you guys aren't the big dogs out west now. Is that come up in conversations? Does TV like the idea that maybe and does it get more money for the schools, I guess, is ultimately the question. Does TV, are they interested in the fact that you guys are the big West conference out? Not I
There's
shouldn't big
so
West
many
conference.
layers in that onion of a question, Jeff, but I'm
Yeah.
going to try to peel it back, right? So yes, we think there's an opportunity in the Western region that we are positioned to fill. But, you know, another piece of that is media and eyeballs. And certainly our league drives those. We have a lot of inventory in the Western region time zone, which is very attractive to media. And certainly, although there are schools that have joined other leagues, they're still positioned in the Western region. And so I think that helps us as well, because we are the conference that represents the Western region and fandom. And that, you know, even if your team isn't in the playoff or a bowl, you're still a college football fan in one of the states in our footprint that are following and, you know, tuning in for college football, even into the postseason. So I think we do bring a lot of value in that sense, both in representing the vast fan bases we have in the Western region and to media, the time zone.
All right. Basketball specific. Next week, Thomas and Mack Center, Mountain West tournament. It's one of the best tournaments every year. And it really is. I don't say that just because I cover it. I think you guys do a tremendous job with it. I am curious what the future of the Mountain West tournament is. Is it staying in Las Vegas for a while? Is there a possibility that you guys explore outside of the Thomas and Mack? What can you say about the future of the location of the Mountain West tournament?
Well, you know, previous to me being hired the Mountain West one-upped a one-year agreement with Thomas DeMack to let the new commissioner come in and figure out what to do. Well, so much has gone on. And we have, while we're focused on it and talking about it, there's been so much change in the market. You know, certainly the demise of the Pac-12 left an opening in the calendar with some venues. So we are one-upping for one more year to help us, give us time to figure out. It's no small thing to change venue. And we're very, very fortunate that UNLV and Thomas and Mac has been a great host, a great home to us, and very flexible in working with us in another year so we can just figure it out.
I would say to that point, I don't think a leave, if it ever happens, again, I have no vote on the matter, but a leaving of the Thomas and Mac, I don't think would ever be a sign or an indication that the league had any problems with the venue or UNLV. It would just be about, you know, what are the other opportunities? And I think that's sort of what you guys have to explore. And I do think fans love it in Las Vegas. I can't imagine you guys would leave Las Vegas, but I guess you guys have to explore everything. So,
Exploring all options at exactly what you said. UNLV has been a fantastic host venue, and you know, you couldn't ask for better.
You're going to be there next week? You're going to be there for the men's and women's tournaments?
Oh, absolutely.
Are you going to be walking around, shaking hands, doing work, or are you going to be able to cheer a little bit?
Oh, I don't cheer until non-conference and postseason. So we will be in black, purple, maybe some pink. But yes, just definitely walking around. Feel free to say hello. You'll see me in the venue the entire time. And I can't wait. It's, you know, handing out the hardware is the funnest part about my job. So.
All right. I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. And I'm going to run this clip in case you answer it a way I don't think you'll answer it. But let me just ask in case. Predictions. Who's going to win the Mountain West tournament?
No comment. Not only because no comment, but also I'm highly superstitious, so I never like to jinx anything.
Okay. All right. Well, look, congratulations on what's been a just tremendous year, not only for the Mountain West Conference, but for the attention the league's getting because of the basketball. But the way you guys have handled it too, I think you guys have, as best you can, capitalized on what has been a product on the court that the coaches and players, as you've mentioned, have done their jobs with. I think you guys have done what you're supposed to do with it and kind of, you know, maximize what was given to you guys too. So congratulations on that. And
Oh, well, thank
look
you,
forward to
Jeff,
seeing.
and big credit to Nico Roberts and Teresa Kurtz on our team, who, no lie, round the clock, late games, what have you, are just churning clips and stories and stats. And, you know, there's a very finite window here, and we're hoping to maximize it.
I am glad you dropped their names because they do deserve it. It's been a great year, and everybody that had a little hand in it needs to get the pat on the back for it. So, Gloria, I appreciate you for coming on, and look forward to seeing you next week.
Yeah, see you soon, Jeff. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, well, there you go. My conversation with Gloria Navarez, the Mountain West Conference Commissioner, in her second full year, I suppose. I know she kind of got a head start before she started last January, but officially on the job January of 2023, and this season has just been tremendous for the Mountain West Conference in a lot of ways. Doesn't even matter at this point how many teams get in. Well, I shouldn't say it doesn't matter. Of course it matters. And they want six teams in the NCAA tournament. Point I'm trying to make is even if they don't get their goal of six teams in the NCAA tournament, what the league has done this year in terms of garnering attention from national media and respect from national media about how they're playing, to piggyback off of what San Diego State did last year with their Final Four and national championship game run, they capitalized on it. They did what they were supposed to do in a moment when the opportunity presented itself. So kudos to the Mountain West Conference. I know we don't always say that. Conference commissioners and conference offices and all that stuff, often the punching bags of fans and media and stuff like that, from people who don't always understand what, you know, how the decisions are made. Usually it's school presidents and ADs that make a lot of these decisions. We blame it on the league, all that kind of stuff. Right now, I'm just going to give some kudos, though, to the Mountain West Conference for capitalizing on the opportunity that presented itself over the last 12 months, really, since San Diego State made their fantastic run in last year's NCAA tournament. And they parlayed that into a year where there could be seven teams that think they can make the NCAA tournament, six that have at-large hopes, including the UNM Lobos. I know some of you don't Want to hear that, but they still very much have at-large hopes, do the UNM Lobos. And then a seventh team in UNLV who's playing in their home arena in the Mountain West Conference tournament that thinks, they're playing as well as anybody. And maybe they can win the conference tournament and get the automatic berth into the NCAA tournament. So we'll see how all that plays out. Again, this is, as I record this on Monday, March the 4th, still another week of regular season basketball to play that will determine an awful lot. Next week, we'll talk about conference awards, stuff like that. For now, though, I want to thank Gloria one last time for being on the podcast. I want to thank you for watching, listening, reading, following along, however you're doing it. Keep doing it. Please rate, subscribe to this podcast, whatever you can do. Leave comments. Subscribe to the Albuquerque Journal if you can. abqjournal.com/subscribe is how you can get there online. And I want to definitely thank again TLC Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, Electrical for sponsoring this episode of the Talking Grammar podcast. And without support from them, support from our advertisers, support from people like you, this stuff just doesn't happen without all that support. So thank you very much. I'm grateful for you, and until next time, thanks for watching.